So, ladies, don't run out this morning. I've got some goodies to give away. So, listen, we're getting started early. We'd be done by 12. I promise. Okay, I promise. I promise. If I'm not, I got good stuff. Y'all can wait. So, all right. Ladies, we celebrate you today. To the mothers, the grandmothers, daughters, sisters, aunties, you know, I recognize that Mother's Day may not be your favorite holiday. Some of you may be hurting today because the people you love aren't sitting beside you, or they aren't in your arms today. You've prayed and prayed, but they aren't here yet. Keep praying. Keep praying. And you guys know we've been talking about the prodigal son, Steve, a.k.a. Steve, the last several weeks. And I just want to acknowledge those of you in the room who were that prodigal. Or maybe you still are. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm not going to name any names, but there are several of you that, since we've been here, we've prayed for. And I'm so glad you're here. So, welcome home. Amen. Amen. I'm going to try not to cry, y'all. I don't know what's going on. Just, you know, emotions, hormones, who knows. But, so today's message is going to be a little bit different. Sorry. It's not your typical mother. But is any of my Mother's Day messages ever really a typical Mother's Day message? I don't really think it is. So it's going to be a little bit different. We're still talking about Steve, okay? So Jesus gives the story of the prodigal son, Steve. But when Jesus told this story, I want you to think about who was in the room, okay? It wasn't the lost that were in the room. It was the religious leaders. It was church people. So I'm going to stop you. There's this thing that my friend Rochelle says in therapy that I'm going to need you to put your armor on. So you might want to do that today, okay? But I love you. I love you. So we're going to set the scene. So here you have the perfectly perfect Pharisees sitting around, and they hear Jesus telling this story of the prodigal son, Steve. What do you think their thoughts were? Based on what we know about them, they weren't your loving, generous, forgiving, godly men. They was judgy and legalistic, right? So, let's get to the story. So, in Luke 15, verse 11 through 24, Jesus says, to illustrate the point further, a man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. So now if you can imagine the Pharisees' thoughts up until this point, in their head they're saying he's done something unthinkable. The ultimate insult to a father is to ask for your inheritance before he has even passed on. How dare he treat his father this way? I hope his father doesn't take him back. He deserves to be in with the pigs. He deserves where he's at. But they forget one simple fact. Steve is still his father's son. We don't quit being mothers and fathers because our kids have left us or left the church. Jesus spent time with and accepted people the Pharisees wouldn't be caught dead with. See, the Pharisees disqualified people from God's kingdom. Jesus included them and offered hope. Jesus taught that every soul matters to God, that any and everyone qualifies for the love of God, regardless of their past failures. And Jesus makes sure to point it out at the end of each story that he's telling in Luke 15. He says, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. So now Steve is returned home. Everyone is excited. Everyone is rejoicing. We're going to have a party. A big blowout. But in verse 25 through 30, it says, meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard the music and the dancing in the house. He asked one of the servants, what's going on? Your brother is back, he was told. And your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. And the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. Wouldn't it be great if all firstborns did that? And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back, after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf? Big bro ain't happy. You know, most of the time in this story of the prodigal son, people focus on Steve in the story. Or the love that the father has for those coming home. But we don't often focus on the attitude of the ones who never left. The older brother's attitude was, like, I can just imagine. She's in the back. The attitude of my 13-year-old. How dare you throw a party for him? I love you, child. Don't you remember what he did? Don't you remember how bad he hurt you? We can't just let him come back like nothing ever happened. That's not right. He left home. He left you. There's no way he should have a celebration. Where's my celebration? I've been working for you, doing my part and his part. He spent your money on prostitutes. Why in the world are we celebrating? Does that sound familiar? Maybe you've heard it like this. This is where you're going to need that armor. We spend way too much time at our church trying to reach the lost. After all, I need to be fed. Reaching the lost may be important, but church is supposed to be for me. After all, I'm a tithe-paying member. You spend way too much time with sinners. Shouldn't we get your attention instead of them? You care more about lost people than us. Right? Hello? Guys, that's kind of the point. You're here. That's good. I'm so glad. You're here living for Jesus. I'm sorry. Did I scare her? My bad. You're here living for Jesus. What about all them people out there that ain't? The whole point is we take people with us, right? I'll try not to get too excited. I can understand welcoming people back, but they need to pay a price. They shouldn't just walk in the door and expect everything to go right back the way it used to be. Do I need to remind you of a man that did pay the price? His name is Jesus. We have people afraid to come to church, not because of Jesus, but because of us. The church people, what will they say? Will they accept me? See, a lot of times, God isn't the problem. It's the older brother's attitude. It's our attitude. Because if God responds with unconditional love and forgiveness, are we responding that way when people come back to Jesus? Sometimes we need to do a heart check. A heart check. Are we having the right attitude? Are we being welcoming? Are we loving on those people? Because that's what they need. It is love. They need time. They need us to invest time in them. Because just because somebody walks through that door doesn't mean that they automatically know how church works. They don't automatically download something when they step into this altar and accept Jesus into their heart and know how they're supposed to speak, how they're supposed to act, what they're supposed to do. They have to be taught. We, not just we, are the ones that are here to show them how we live, to be an example, a demonstration. When we welcome somebody in and we are loving them through the mess. Listen, all y'all got some kind of mess somewhere. We all need to be loved through the mess, okay? But when we are doing that, we are also demonstrating how that love from the Lord works. So first thing that we need to do is acknowledge our ugly tendency to act like the older brother. To acknowledge, listen, when you get that feeling, just keep it to yourself. Just. Sapphira got so excited when, what is it? Zip it, lock it, and put it in your pocket? I think it's how it goes. She saw the emoji on my phone. Perfect example. Just zip it and put that in your pocket. We don't got to talk about them. We don't got to talk about them, okay? We got to say, I am so glad that you're here. And then we text them or we call them later in the week, check on them, see how they're doing. Just showing them love. And second, we got to focus on forgiveness, not punishment. I feel like we say this, we preach this, oh, come here and get forgiveness. But when those people are walking up here, Are you asking the Lord to forgive you in your heart for the thoughts that you might be having when they're walking up there? Or the thoughts that you might be having when you see them out in town doing some of the things that they used to do because they ain't quite there yet? Or are we going to love them through it? We're going to be an encouragement to them. Because when we put down, when we talk about, when we have that older brother attitude of, well, they shouldn't just be able to. But the whole premise of the gospel, Jesus says, come unto me. Right? The Lord already got people to judge when we get up there. Okay, we don't need to be doing it down here, right? When the prodigal comes home, respond with love and not lectures. Do I have any lecturers in the room? I love this. She's so honest. Listen, they don't need 20 questions, Denise. We don't need all your feelings and opinions that you have had over the last 20 years. We need, I love you. I'm so happy for you. We need celebration, right? I just said my fourth one. Celebrate restoration and don't relive rejection. Because maybe they did leave you. Maybe they did disappoint. Maybe they did hurt. But we don't need to express that so that it pushes them back out the door. Because we want people to find Jesus. We want people to come into relationship with him. We want people to know what we know. So this past year, I can't remember when we got the books, but Joe Phillips, y'all remember him? It's not been that long ago since him and Lee, we went to the, if y'all didn't go to the comedy thing, y'all missed out. But Joe wrote a book. The last book that he wrote is called Irrevocable. And in the book, he's telling a story of a guy that he starts off in ministry. God is doing amazing things, growing his church, reaching his community. And then the bishop comes in and says, we want you to go here. And it's like, you know, a bigger church, more just benefits, and like, oh, looks really cool. And gets there and it's not great. Stuff happens and he upsets a board member, and then all of a sudden he gets called to the bishop's office and he gets moved to a little bitty old church, going from a real nice house to a two-bedroom kind of a dumpy trailer, and you know, his wife is having a hard time. And the whole story is that she leaves, he quits the church, and like 30 years goes by. He stumbles into an old country church because he's got a flat tire. Two young men come out, take care of his car, invite him to go in to church. He goes into church, and the pastor's preaching, talking right to him. He makes it up to the altar, rededicates his life to the Lord, but he still feels unworthy because of all the things that he has done, the way he had lived his life for those 30 years. If you read the book, you're probably going to get teary-eyed about this point, okay? So 30 years go by, and he gets called to the bishop's office. It's a young, enthusiastic, energetic man, probably one of the youngest ones that they've ever had. And there's two other young men in the meeting with him. And they go on, he's wanting him to take another church to go and pastor. And he's like, I just don't know, you know. Well, one of the young men in the room was a young man that he had picked up on a bus and brought to church. And what ended up happening is that young man's entire family got saved because this pastor stopped in his vehicle and picked him up and took him to a kid's service. Changed an entire family. The other young man was the son of the deacon that was the problem, that shook up his life in more ways than one. And he apologized for the things that his father had done to mess up this man's life. And the bishop's like, we still need you. It doesn't matter. All the things that happened that you did, because there's still a call on your life. Each one of us, no matter if we left and came back or if we never left, we have a call on us to reach the lost, to bring them to know who Jesus is, to show them how Jesus loves. Number five is that we need to meet them on the road. We don't need to make them walk alone. No matter what, no matter when, no matter how, they can always come home. If you're supposed to be teaching a class or be somewhere else and your friend shows up to church, I'll come teach your class. I'll come fill in the nursery. I got five kids. I guess I remember how to do all that stuff. But we want to make them feel at home. Welcome. I was thinking about, was it Little Big Creek? Was that the name of their band? So in Big Creek, the church at, no, Big Flat. That's, no, I'm thinking the wrong thing, but it is Big Creek. It's over there by like Jasper-ish area. So we had some friends, they're all, because we're old, they're older now and they got kids and stuff, but they put out a CD and they had this song, I think it was called Coming Home, Welcome Home, something like that, and they tell the story of the prodigal son, and it's in the song, it is a son riding a train headed home, and he sits next to a pastor and he's like talking to him, and he said, well, I sent a letter ahead and told my parents that if they would tie a string or a bow around this big old oak tree that the train goes by, that I would know that I can come back home. And at the end of the song, it goes by, they got big old bed sheets hanging from the tree, because yes, you can come home. Jesus is saying, welcome home. So this is how we want to treat those people that are coming home. We want to forgive. We don't want to allow the hurt to make me act like that older brother. We want to love openly, enthusiastically, and with our whole hearts. We want to celebrate. We want to throw a party, cook dinner, take pictures, laugh, cry, hug, shout, sing, dance. People who have been away from God should see us celebrate. Verse 31 and 32 says, his father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. And lastly, we need to include. They don't have to earn their way back in. They are home and part of the family. So today, if you haven't come home to Jesus in your heart, today is the day. If you've been guilty of acting like the older brother, then we're going to come and we're going to seek forgiveness. Stand with me this morning. Father, I thank you, God, for all, Lord, that you have done through this series. Lord, I pray that you would continue, God, to move in this place. If you're in this place and you would say, I have not committed myself to Jesus yet, then come meet me at this altar. Come home this morning. Come home. It is open. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come home this morning. Father, I thank you. If you're in this place and you say, Chelsea, I've been guilty of that older brother attitude, or maybe I do have a hard time just because I know, then I want you to come, and this is what we're going to pray. We're going to pray that you have the love of Jesus in your heart. That instead of judgment, you see gratefulness. Instead of anger, you are thankful. The altars are open this morning. If you need to pray, join me up here. Others have come. You're not the first. Or maybe you still have those who aren't quite home yet. And you want to pray for those. Pray for opportunities for people out in our community that you can minister to so that they want to come back home. Come, let us pray this morning. Father, we thank you. God, just pour your spirit out. Lord, have your way. God, we exalt you. Lord, we thank you for what is happening in this place. God, we rejoice. Lord, I pray for those who haven't quite come home yet. Lord, I pray that you would work in their hearts. God, that our people would show them love. God, I pray that you would help us to love those back into your kingdom. God, to reach the lost in our community. Lord, to find those that need a home. Lord, that need you, that need that unconditional love, that need that encouragement. Father, we magnify you. Lord, we exalt you. We thank you, Jesus. Church, I pray that you remember this message. That the words and the feelings of that older brother mentality would no longer be a part of us. God, that we would see that person through your eyes. God, that the things of the past would melt away. Lord, that we would be willing, God, to forgive, because if you are willing, how can we not be? Lord, I pray for beautiful moments, beautiful homecomings, where God, you've already brought so many prodigals back home. And Lord, I pray that you would continue that in this place. God, I pray for every person that is in this place, Lord, that is connected to one that is still lost. God, I pray wherever they are right now, Lord, that you would reach out. God, that you would send a messenger to them. Lord, that there would be a tugging at their heart, a thought come into their mind. Maybe I should try. Maybe I should go back. Maybe I should see what the Lord has that's different than what I have now. God, I pray that you would use us. Father, that you would keep us. You would protect us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.